Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're kindly joined by Alan Green. Alan, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Hello, John. Good to be back.
So myself and Alan, we're going to be discussing a number of equities. But before we do that, Alan, let's have a look at these markets. Now, looking at the FTSE 100, we had a bit of a wobble towards the end of last week, beginning of this week. We have rallied since, and that was very much led by a company that we're going to discuss in some detail, but later on in the podcast in next. They really helped lift markets yesterday, and today we're up slightly. But the sell-off that we did see, Alan, was really being put down to a rise in COVID cases, not just here in the UK, but on a global basis, especially in emerging markets. So not a huge sell-off we've seen here in London. But, you know, as is typical during periods of volatility, you see market commentators coming out, coming out and saying, yes, we see some volatility coming forward. And in particular, I've seen some comments that there could be a 15% pullback in equities. I think in that particular case, they were talking about US equities. But Alan, what is your feeling looking at UK markets, broad UK markets in the FTSE 100, FTSE 250? Given where we are, do you feel that could apply to the London markets in terms of seeing a correction over the next few months?
Well, last week we spoke about interest rates and whether we thought the Bank of England would increase interest rates. I firmly believe that they will want to sit on those for as long as possible. And so many families are saddled with debt and saddled with large mortgages. So anything like that could make a huge difference. So it certainly won't come from that direction. But of course, we're going to get unexpected developments with COVID, new variants, as we're seeing all the time. And of course, now we're open back up again, and Boris appears to be going for the herd immunity solution, which may or may not work. We're going to see more uncertainty, and market commentators, some absolutely negative, some absolutely positive. Myself, I think a correction is healthy, and I actually hope that we continue to get a series of corrections across the autumn, so people don't get too carried away with it. But from this, opportunities will emerge, and I know I keep on harping on about this, but it's an absolutely indisputable fact that as the government spending continues, and I'm not just talking about the UK government, governments around the world are spending more on furlough schemes, on buying assets to keep the stock markets and markets overall stable, and for a host of other reasons. All that's doing is bringing more money into the system, so it's effectively devaluing the value of your dollar or your pound or your euro or whatever. So when that happens, history has always told us that there will be a retreat into tangible assets such as gold, precious metals, even commodities. And let's not forget, we've had a year of almost complete inactivity across the world. So there's a year of activity to catch up on. We're seeing a very strong iron ore price at the moment, and lots of developments from exporters of iron ore and mining companies developing iron ore assets to ensure that they can meet demand. So this is going to continue. And I think longer term, we've spoken about the commodity super cycle. I do believe that the activities of governments around the world, the constant spending, the consequential devaluation of fiscal currencies will create further value in the commodity markets going forward. And I think that's where the opportunities will be, particularly as in quarter two this year, we've seen quite a retreat in metals prices, and also in the prices of some of the mid to small cap mining stocks.
So, I mean, commodities obviously a sector will benefit from, you know, the inflation trade, as we've discussed on previous podcasts. But when we're looking at opportunities in any sell-off, I mean, do you think that investors should be looking for those opportunities that they may have typically been looking for prior to the pandemic? Or do you think now we've actually changed for good in terms of the makeup of our economy? And really, some of those companies that were particularly strong, maybe particularly reliable before, particularly REITs, for example, those that are looking at commercial property, you know, they were considered quite safe, but they haven't really bounced back. Of course, we're looking at consumer companies, and obviously we'll touch on next on what they've done. And of course, some of these COVID stocks here listed in London, there's not a huge amount of them as when you compare to the United States, but you know, the likes of Just Eat and Ocado, for example, big beneficiaries of the pandemic. Do you feel that these companies that benefited from the pandemic are going to continue to do so? Or is it a case that people were then going to start to look back to the more traditional assets and companies, as I mentioned there, particularly REITs, that could benefit as we get back to normal?
Yeah, I think there's a combination of factors in there. Of course, a lot of companies during COVID, ironically, have strengthened their hand in their particular field. I mean, companies like Ocado, distribution, you know, food, grocery distributors have benefited from online. And post-COVID, we're going to see a lot of families still who may be at risk of infection or vulnerable to COVID or respiratory issues, that may decide to carry on living as if lockdown was still in place. So their lifestyle will reflect that in terms of the way they shop, in terms of the way they live their lives, and so on. So I think that will continue. And I think, as I said, you know, companies like Ocado, they've seen revenues increase, and that's strengthened their hand. It's given them a greater war chest to go on and make further acquisitions. And I think we're going to see, as we go forward, some merger and acquisition activity. Of course, Morrisons were bought out recently, and we're going to see wholesale changes. But nonetheless, we need to eat, so that's a factor. And companies like Next, that we're going to talk about in a minute, you know, that they've seen a really strong resurgence. So a lot of retailers that historically were all about the high street have evolved into online very efficiently, and are now selling the majority of their offerings online, which is great. In regard to property, I know, living here on the South Coast, we've seen a huge surge of people moving out of the city and coming down to the coast and buying properties here, which has had the net effect of A, boosting house prices, and B, boosting the profits of the agents locally, some of which are, of course, in national chains and are owned by national chains that are listed on the markets. So that's another benefit. But of course, all of the commercial property that maybe is seemingly at risk at the moment, I'm sure we'll see a return to the city, and people just getting used to living with the bug going forward. Some things will change completely, of course, but there is an opportunity there. As and when commercial property will make that recovery is harder to call.
So you mentioned there Next, and that's a company that we're going to discuss now. Now, very strong trading update from them yesterday. They did actually bring it forward by 2 weeks. I think they were so excited about the results that they had in there. So quite a significant uptick in shares, as I said. It helped lift the FTSE 100 yesterday. But Alan, looking at that trading statement, what are the key takeaways for you?
It's ironic, isn't it? I went to Next at the weekend. I decided various pairs of shorts I have for the summer worn out. Bought some more. One was too big, so we sent it back and ordered a new pair online. And the company came to pick it up the following day. Took the old one back. So a very efficient infrastructure. But the numbers are fantastic. Yeah, I mean, full sales in the 11 weeks up nearly up 18.5% versus 2 years ago, full price sales guidance for the whole year is increased from 3% to 6%, and it's also paid 29 million of business rates relief back to the government. Full year pre-tax profits are upped by 30 million to 750 million at the top of guidance, and full year surplus cash expected to sit at around 240 million, which they're going to distribute in cash to shareholders through a special dividend. And of course, you know, Next has long been the darling of the stock market. Lord Wolfson obviously has been at the helm for since 2001, so well over 20 years now. How long he'll stay in charge, who knows, but goodness me, he's doing a great job. Company's now worth 10.6 billion, but it shows no signs of slowing down. I mean, we're just seeing shares now more or less at year highs. £84, if that was the year high. They're now trading just over £80. Would you buy them at this level? Yes, I think you would, because they just have a model. They have a marketing mix of products which are eternally popular. They don't have legacy issues of property that some others have. And of course, this is one of the key attractions of the stock, in that it's got such a strong online offering, and it's building its sales through those channels so effectively. And I think, you know, in that way, it has really benefited from COVID. So going forward, I think Next is it remains a buy, and I'm sure a lot of funds holding the stock will be encouraged by the news, and will be topping up also.
So, obviously, a very good set of numbers there. But what would you say to the view, Alan, that this strong set of figures is really the result of pent-up demand? Obviously, people have been saving money, stuck at home. Of course, now they're starting to go out again, like yourself. You know, realised, okay, I need to start going out and I need some new shorts. And they're going out and then they're spending some of their savings that they've accumulated through the pandemic. And that's obviously led to a big boost to Next sales. What's the case, do you think, for this to be continued you know, through the rest of the year into early next year? And could this sort of taper off as people start to look at inflation and their sort of spending habits and things becoming more expensive and maybe not spending as much on clothes?
Well, I think Next has got a formula which works come rain or shine. And I think that's what's attracted so many institutions and companies to the stock. And of course, you know, let's not forget, April last year, we were at multi-year lows, 5-year lows. Shares were just under £40, 33, well, in fact, not under, just under £33 a share on the 3rd of April. So if you bought the shares then, you know, you'd be close to a triple bagger. But I think if you look at the performance of the stock prior to COVID, everything fell off a cliff last March, April, as we know. But the company has continued to deliver a strong performance year in, year out. And is there scope for future growth? Yes, I think there is, because as a result of the pandemic, some retailers won't have been able to evolve. So they will either go into liquidation or their stock will be bought out. So the stronger players in the sector will actually gain market share as a result of that. So it's going to continue to evolve, but Next has certainly been evergreen from a stock market standpoint and also from a buyer standpoint. You know, they're hugely popular. They just had the right formula in terms of their style and everything else that certainly the British public like, and long may continue.
Yes, I mean, certainly difficult to argue against their huge success story, given the number of high street chains that have closed down or have to be changed dramatically in terms of their corporate structure to weather the change in consumer habits. But Next really coming out on top. So a very strong set of figures there from next. So moving on now, Alan, we're going to discuss a IPO, which I believe has just gone live today. Ticker ZEW Zenova. I believe it IPO this morning at 19 pence, currently trading around 23. It's a very strong result there on the morning there for Zenova investors in their IPO. But what's happening there in terms of the company, Alan? Obviously one that a lot of people wouldn't have heard of. So what do they do and what are their main products and what are they sort of setting out to do over the next 12 months?
Okay, so Zenova Group, a fascinating company, and one that I think is set for great things going forward. We've been working with the group for the past few weeks, and we'll continue to do so. And people who follow our Twitter handles, both at NovusComms, at Brand UK, and my own Twitter handle, will have seen some videos that we've published across the network of the fire-resistant paints that Zenova have developed. So the company has a series of paints and innovative paints and coverings that, when they're applied, basically prevent and delay the onset of fire. The videos manifestly demonstrate just how effective the paints are. There's a video of a tin can that we used, that a burner was used on. Then the same burner was applied to a can covered in paint, and it showed how the paint reacted and responded. Some cardboard was painted with the paint, and so on. There a range of videos, and I spoke to the CEO, Tony Crawley, in an interview that was released at the start of this week. And we looked at one of these videos, and he said, the thing is, you know, when you talk to people about paint, it's, you know, it's almost like watching paint dry, you know, it's not that interesting. So he said the way we could demonstrate the efficacy of the products is by actually putting out product videos on the website, and they've been hugely popular, as you'll see by the number of views that they've had just through our channels alone. So the difference is that a competitive paint in the market at the moment require multiple coats to have any sort of efficacy at all, whereas the Zenova application, literally it's two coats, and you then have an incredible range of protection. And of course there are issues for fire protection across a multitude of applications up and down the UK. Of course, the dreadful tragedy that was Grenfell, and the issue the government now has in other buildings that have had this cladding used. To replace all of that cladding would be extremely costly. Is there a solution to use a paint like Zenova's paint to paint the existing cladding to give increased fire protection? And I think the efficacy of the paints is without doubt. And of course, we'll see and hear more about this sort of thing as we go forward. But it's a range of that. There are other applications too. I mean, we've talked about, of course, in African countries where there's a desperate need for housing in some of the impoverished areas. There are plenty of MTC containers that could be used for this, but of course the containers are made from steel. They're way too hot. If they're painted with this sort of paint, then of course it will prevent heat from getting through. So you could then effectively have somewhere for a family to live. There's just a multitude of applications here. So for Zenova, it's very exciting. This morning when they came to market, they raised gross proceeds of $4.5 million, giving the company a capitalization of $17.7 million, coming onto the market at 19p. As we speak, shares are already up at 23.5p, so a very strong start. But I think an incredibly exciting company to watch. The company's slogan is saving through innovation. And I think... I'd urge you know, people wanting to look at the company to go and look at the website zenovagroup.com. You can watch the videos there and also find out about the paints and wall coverings and of course the team that are behind it. The epic code, of course, is ZED.
So, Alan, what does this look like for Zenova in terms of their growth plans going forward? Do they have any particular markets that they're going to be focusing on? Markets they're operating at the moment. Do they have any new markets that they're going to be entering? Is it Europe, United States, Asia, Africa? What does that sort of look like? And is there sort of any variation to their product that they could do and sort of innovate with going forward that will give them an additional revenue stream, do you feel?
Well, I know from speaking to Tony that there are huge amounts of plans going forward, and obviously he can disclose those to the market as and when those developments happen. But I do know that it's a fully global entity. They will be talking with companies, organizations all over the world to progress Zenova and obviously demonstrate the efficacy of the paint and the wall coverings. There's a sales team working hard and speaking with organizations around the world now, and I'm sure in the coming weeks we're going to be hearing more from Tony about that.
Fantastic. I'm sure we'll be updating the podcast on that as we hear more from that, but a very good day on their first day of trading there for Zenova. So we're going to finish off now, Alan, with a company that I've been looking at over the last couple of days, particularly interesting in what they've been doing. There's two things I like with this company. First of all, they're operating in Africa, which for me is a particularly exciting area to be operating, given the growth potential there. And the second is that their actual core business, looking at mobile services. One of the things that struck me when I visited Tanzania last year is, maybe people there don't have as high a living standards as we do here in terms of the dwellings that they live in and the facilities they have within their dwellings. But one thing that struck me is that everybody has a mobile phone. They're obviously very well connected. And the business that we're going to discuss now in Airtel is providing quite innovative mobile services to Africa. So what's the latest that's been happening there, Alan?
Well, ironically, John, Trevor Coote at TS Capital put me onto this company in the middle of last year, and the shares were then trading at about at around 50p. I took a look at the company, and it's a FTSE 250 company. But as often happens, these great companies in the FTSE 250 that seem to get very that often don't get aired properly across our channels when we're talking to investors. So I put together a piece on this company. But the company, as you rightly say, Airtel Africa, it provides telecoms and mobile services across 14 countries in East, Central and West Africa. It's had a very strong run this year. Recently the company sold a minority stake in its mobile money business. And that was bought by the Rise Fund, which is a global investing platform of investment firm TPG, which invested $200 million into its mobile money arm. So this basically means that, as you said, Jonathan, everyone there with a mobile phone can undertake money transactions effectively and utilize the Airtel Africa channels to do so. Going forward through the year, the company announced a very strong set of results in May. Really strong full year numbers, underlying earnings of 1.8 billion, up 18%, and operating profits increased 24% to 1.1 billion, and that of course is on revenues up 14% to $3.9 billion. And this is these are all numbers with a company with a market cap of just on 3 billion. So there's very little premium in the valuation of the company at the moment, in my opinion, to reflect any growth potential. And this is a company that has grown rapidly through the year. It's announced in June it's sold its Tanzania tower portfolio to a joint venture owned by SBA Communications and Paradigm, along with the investment from TPG, the infrastructure and the growth potential of the company seems to be accelerating. So looking at the shares have traded as high as 96p on the year, currently sitting at just over 83p, been as low, as I say, as 53p on the year. But the attraction, of course, here is that the company has pays out a dividend of 3.4%, and for a FTSE 250 company, that's a decent sized dividend. I think we're set for more and more growth as the year goes by. There's also a new incumbent CEO coming in as well, who will have his own ideas as to how to drive the company harder. And I think this is a great addition to your portfolio, because it'll pay a dividend, and I think there's some very strong capital growth potential on offer.
So, Alan, you obviously mentioned there the valuation, and looking at the forward earnings here, you're looking at about 11 and a half times earnings, which is very conservative given the wider market. And what do you think is holding this company back? Do you think it's simply a case that it's just not being appreciated enough by investors at the moment?
Well, I think there's, often companies operating in Africa do tend to trade at a discount, simply because some of the incumbent regimes in Africa are, let's just say, they provide some uncertainty, I think, to investors, and it's not perceived as safe an environment to operate in. But I think with mobile channels like this, it's the earnings are fairly well, they're probably more secure than in an airtime based business like this than with a lot of other companies. So it's clear the company is highly cash generative and continues to be so. It's paying out this dividend, and I think probably, Jonathan, the fact is that its PR company in the UK is not doing a good job. So it's just up to the likes of you and I to bang the drum and make people aware of this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking here. I know that the figures there, I mean, it's trading about 1x revenue.
Yeah,
and for a company operating in a growth market in Africa, that does jump out at me as being fairly out of line with other companies. I mean, if you just think back to they're obviously completely different companies and operating in different markets, but some of these tech stocks, sort of 5-10 years ago, you're looking at those companies sort of trading 7-10 times their revenue at that point as they were growing. So with a company trading roughly 1x earnings, 1x revenue, that does jump out at me as something that's certainly worth looking at for investors. So it's going to be interesting to see. And I think this is one that we should pick up again when they next update the market, because they've had quite significant increases in their revenue and it's been quite consistent. So I'm going to be quite interested to see how the half year from the 31st of March performs this year. So I'm sure that's one that we're going to be picking up on in the fourth quarter when we see some more updates.
Yes, indeed.
From there.
Yeah.
So, Alan, thank you very much. And just a recap of the companies that we discussed there. The IPO that we discussed was Zenova Group, and that trades under the ticker of ZED. We also discussed Next, which trades under the ticker of NXT, and just then was Airtel, which trades under the ticker of AAF. Alan, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.